Brighter Media Group original.
You're listening to Your Day Brighter, the podcast. Real reasons to have hope in this world. Hey, I'm your host, Tracy Tiernan. I sound really together right now, don't I? I mean, I sound like I know what I'm doing. I'm good. My voice feels strong. But let me just tell you, the very beginning of this conversation that I had with Christy Knuckles, I was not together. I don't know what it was. I've never met Christy before. All of these years that I've loved her music, and I never got to meet her in person before. And so we did this video call, and as soon as she popped up on my screen, I started to cry. You know, when someone just means so much to you, when their offering in the world touches your heart deeply and helps you on the journey of just being a human, just being a struggler, you know, reaching for God, that's Christy's impact on my life. And so what an honor to get to meet her. And so Christy Knuckles, singer, songwriter, worship leader, author, podcaster, the stuff that just comes out of her fills the world with Jesus. And I can't wait for you to meet her. Let's just jump in, starting with me kind of losing it a little bit. I feel so silly. I'm in my prayer room and I do the morning show. And so I get up at 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. so that I can prepare myself spiritually to go and spend time with the Lord. And I've been hanging out with you. So that's why I'm very moved to be able to meet you and say thank you. I just want to say thank you for the offering of worship, your heart for the Lord. And you lead me in worship like every day. And I've always been an admirer of your voice and your music. But Christy, your latest release, This Is the Hour, it's like my top five of albums of all time. Like I can't stop playing it. I feel like I come into this room. I want you to know it's dark out at 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I light my candle and I do my best to have a constant prayer rhythm when I come in here. Your music helps me to focus and meet with Jesus and hear his voice. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Tracy. That means so much to me.
And you know, it's the first record that you've put out in a while, right? Has it been like 5 years? Is that true?
Yes. It's been since the Lullaby album, the Be Held album came out probably like, almost 5 years ago. So
I have to ask you, why'd you take a break? If you don't mind sharing that, if it's not too personal, and what made you decide, wow, it's time and I have music in me that I have to share. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. Well, the break wasn't necessarily intentional. A lot of that was, I wrote a book and that released in 21. And I thought that writing a book was going to be a lot like songwriting. And it turns out it's really different than songwriting. So actually becoming an author was like, it was truly like a labor of love. And it stretched me, I'll be honest. And then, you know, keeping up with the podcast, which I have a podcast called The Glorious and the Mundane. And I, you know, have loved like being able to be faithful and steward that as best I can with the other things, you know, that I've had going. But also in 21, kind of even leading up to 21, you know, of course we were all in a worldwide pandemic, and that of course, you know, just was hard like it was for everybody. But my mom has had cancer. She's actually doing really well right now. But we almost lost her in 21. And so that just ended up being a really difficult time. And my husband and I had declared we were going to write this record. It was like, okay, new music is coming. We felt like it was going to happen. But often, as you know, like just our timeline and then how that actually ends up, you know, playing out and when those things fall, often I find that God moves a lot slower than I want him to a lot of the times. And
why is he so slow?
I know. And I have found that he really wants me to live this art and live this worship in a way that, you know, hits home for me first before I share it with anyone else. And so I think that's been a huge part of the process and the delay as well. Mm-hmm. Of just like, I've had to live this and really realize like, this is the hour for me too, in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. to come home to the heart of God. Again, in my adult life, I think that's happened many, many times, of just coming fully home to his heart again. Not that I've strayed off and wandered far, but you know, sometimes when we're doing things for God, that can often even get in the way of us just really seeing him. And so this record was a beautiful part of me just seeing him again and letting him see me and be found in his presence. And so it's been a beautiful process, even though it's taken a little bit.
Worth it. Yeah. That time was worth it. It feels so intimate. Intimate is the word. And I feel like it's this, like it feels like when I listen to it, I can't just listen to one song. I have to listen. And I always have to start with the beautiful instrumental. I guess you'd call it the prelude to This Is the Hour.
Overture. Yes. Prelude.
All of it. I got to take it all in. And it like, it warms me. Mm-hmm. It warms me to the spirit.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry to hear about your mom. I didn't realize that you all were bearing that. Yeah. And I'm so glad to hear that she's doing well right now. And I'm going to ask our gracious listeners who are, I know, people who believe in the power of prayer and God's grace, to be praying for your mom. So we'll be doing that.
Thank you.
And I wanted to ask you, you mentioned sort of that, you know, sometimes when we're working for God, it's, we can get a little bit lost in our, and lose ourselves in our, and, you know, I can relate to that. I wonder if you could give us some wisdom, like, how do you know when you've crossed over the line of the platform has become more important and I can't quite see you in here, God, I'm cranking stuff out because I want to get people to you and I want to do all good things, but things are getting a little fuzzy for me. Like, were the warning signs for you, like, whoa, press pause?
Yeah, I've experienced that in several different ways in my adult life. Early on in my, you know, early motherhood for me was I hit a wall of exhaustion. That's kind of how it showed up for me, because I was under the impression that I was going to be able to just kind of like strap my kids on like baby apparatus and just keep going at the pace that I was. But that doesn't work well. And at that point in my life, I really was in a habit of kind of yesing myself into exhaustion and taking on too much and not knowing that line of when I need to take care of myself. But also, I think in that season of my life, I knew very much how to sing for God and do things for him, but I didn't know really how to sit with him. I didn't know how to sit in that place of just quiet and contentment and really honestly to just allow myself to be found by him in those hidden places. That was very exposing to me at that time in my life, that, wow, I wouldn't have, you know, articulated it then that my identity was wrapped up in what I was doing. But looking back, it really was. And so it took the Lord, I think that that hitting a wall of exhaustion was actually like an invitation from him to trust him, like with my career in a way that I never had had to before, and to honestly lay it down and surrender that to him. In fact, he actually, I don't think he's going to do this with everyone, but he asked me to lay down my career for about 5 years. And because that's, I just needed to reprioritize my world as just not even as an artist or a songwriter, you know, or content creator, but just as his daughter, you know, to really learn how to let myself be found in that hidden place, and for that to be enough, like just for his eyes, like his, for him being that one audience that really truly matters. And then I've watched it, you know, play out as well, you know, in kind of like becoming a little bit apathetic or just sort of numbing out to like, you know, what's really important. I've gone through phases like that. I think that's another warning sign as well, that the Lord is, you know, especially the days we're living in, it feels that there's a sense of urgency. I mean, that's what this album's called, This is the Hour, because it really does feel like we're living in that kind of an hour where everything that we do with our time, it really does matter. There's a sense of urgency. And I think that the opposite of that is, can be that apathy, you know, that apathy, or just that kind of numbing out to what's important, numbing out to what the good fight is. And that's a real temptation as well. And when I feel that coming on, it's like, I know to go to battle against all of that.
And to come back to that, doesn't it? It can be sneaky and subtle. Right. And then all this, I don't think any of us set out to, oh, let me see what I can do to derail my beautiful spiritual life and journey with Jesus. Let me just, like, you know, work myself into the ground. We don't set out with that goal, but
that's right.
And we see other people warn us. And we're like, that, we're like, Peter, that's never going to happen to me, you know?
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. This is the day, trim your lamp and spend all that you have on the oil that keeps your flame lit until the day that he comes. Beautiful words from This is the Hour. This song just means so much to me, and really gets us back to what's most important. What is most important? I find myself asking that question over and over again. Your book that you're, now that came out in 2021, am I right? Is that right? Mm-hmm. So even the title of your book, The Life You Long For, Learning to Live from a Heart of Rest. Aren't we, this is such a different kind of thinking for me and for my generation. I'm a little older than you are, but you know, we came from the generation that we work and earn our rest.
Yeah.
But I'm understanding it so much differently now that it's better when we come from a place of rest and then we're able to give. Can you talk a little bit about what rest looks like for you? How do you find that sweet spot?
It really is getting, I think, in that posture, for me, you know, it's not that I have it figured out or anything. I'm still learning, right? That abiding every day. But I really do, I think it is the posture of surrender. I always say, like, surrender plus trust equals soul rest. It equals that rest that the Lord, that is available to his people because of Jesus. And so there's that offering our lives, you know, I call it consecration a lot of times. It's Romans 12, like it's our spiritual act of worship, you know, just to like say, Lord, you have, you know, literally the limbs of my body, like I bring my whole self to you. And I try to really even do that daily, of a laying down of myself and just realizing, I think that, you know, we don't, when we're believers in Jesus and he's the Lord of our lives, we belong to him. Actually, we don't belong to us anymore. And there is something really powerful, I think, that happens in that exchange of coming in that posture of consecration and surrender, and what that affords us really and allows for the Holy Spirit to do in and through us. And, you know, my dad, I'm a PK. He's been a preacher my whole life. And he's always told me my whole life, you know, like the Christian life isn't actually possible unless we are truly leaning on and calling on Christ in us. And so that place of rest to me is, you know, you can actually still work hard from a place of soul rest. And that's what I found. Just like you just said, it's coming from that place of rest, we can actually be very diligent and do very beautiful and, you know, sometimes I don't even like to call it big, because the big things in the kingdom can sometimes look very small, right? But it's almost that Ephesians 2:10. It's like we're his workmanship, and we already have things that he's created for us in Christ Jesus to walk out. Like we have these works that he's already prepared in advance for us. And I love to think that surrender piece, we're actually like, we're going, okay, Lord, I surrender myself to you. What is it that you've already prepared in advance for me to walk in. And I think often I know for myself, I was so wrapped up in like, what is this thing I'm building for you, God? Rather than surrendering myself to be built and for him to build me into the priesthood, you know, that he's making all of us to be. And then that place of trust, I think just trusting him with my dreams and my career and the things even that he's put in me. And, you know, every single thing that I've released, I could say this for sure, in the last decade, on the day of the release, something has happened to where I've literally had to go like, okay, I absolutely trust you with this, God. Like, I can't promote it today. I can't do all the things that I feel like I need to be doing to promote this thing. Like, literally, it's like you put it in me. And so I trust you. I trust you with it. It's like you're the one that put it in me, and you're the one who's going to get this wherever you need it to go. And so I found that that place of surrender and trust is really ultimately that place of rest that we can arrive. And I have to do it daily. Sometimes before I could even hit the floor, like you do at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. So. Surrender plus trust equals soul rest. I like that math. That's good. That's really good. Yes. And isn't it something that you said with every release that you've had, that there's always been something that's coincided with it that just, it was just out of the blue. It sounds like something you didn't expect. And now you're like,
I mean, this year it was, I mean, the week this album released, my dad had a heart attack and he had to have a sextuple bypass, six bypass surgery.
Oh my word.
An 8-hour surgery. He's doing great now. But that it fell literally on the day. I mean, just the record comes out and that's what we're sitting in as a family. And it's like almost I'm hemmed in with these circumstances where the Lord's like, you're going to have to trust me, aren't you? That I've got this, you know, and you don't need to be anywhere right now doing anything except just caring for your people, care for your family, care for your parents. And so things like that, where it's just like, okay, I release all of it to you and I'm going to just be where I need to be and do what I need to do and trust you with the rest for sure.
I feel this for you deeply because I think we can all relate to, you know, when you come into a relationship with Jesus, you're compelled to want to serve him. And his love is compelling us. And we know that there are those good works, right? That that are just waiting for us, that have our name on it, that he prepared in advance. And I'm like, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. And so we spend so much time and energy and we want it to be beautiful and good. And then you get right to that moment of putting it out there and life happens.
That's right.
The hard stuff of life rarely falls on the time schedule that we would like to schedule it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like if we can fit in, we know God, there's going to be 10 hard things this year. If you could just fit them in at the end of March, you know what I mean? Like schedule it in. It doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't.
So how you see this pattern, obviously he just keeps drawing you closer and closer and closer. What's the hardest thing for you to trust him with? I think about someone who has a public profile as you do. And it is up to artists. I mean, you do a lot of promotion to be able to just get your product out there. I feel exhausted for you. Like, you know, if I take 5 years off, am I going to lose all my followers? Am I going to, can you talk to me about that tension?
Yes. Well, you know, it's sweet. I think to my goodness, I mean, my husband and I are celebrating 28 years of marriage and that, and then 25 years of being in the music industry together. Wow. And, and I think after just, you know, being, in it for that long, it's like, you're able to look back and truly see the faithfulness of God and the fruit that comes because his way really does work. And when you take that road less traveled, or when you, choose, you know, in the secret to make those decisions that are best for you and your family and your union with God and what's going to keep you like you just read from that lyric, like spending all that I have on the flame, you know, on the oil that keeps my flame lit. Like what are those decisions I need to make in order to, like, for my faith and my grounding in who God is to stay firm, and then watching God give back 100-fold, like the things that you do lay down in those secret places, you know, the stuff that, you know, he sees in secret and he knows, you know, and he gives back. And often even it's like so beautiful, because like the things that he gives back even are often like only like the Lord and I know, or like, or just a few people know that. It's just that richness and sweetness of like him doing what he said he would do, you know, when we trust him and when we surrender. And so it's been beautiful kind of like all this time to see that pattern of his faithfulness in all of it. And beautiful just to look back on moments of being able to trust him with a lot of different things we've released into the world, and just knowing like, okay, God, you're going to come through and you're the treasure. I think that's, after all this time, it's just, that's one of the things I'm just most grateful for, that like, he's kept that, just that pureness in there to say like, Jesus, like you really are still the treasure over all of these things that I feel like, I need to do for you. Like, I don't want to not be able to see the forest for the trees. It's like, we're doing all this stuff for him, but it's like, I don't want that to be the thing that keeps me from actually experiencing him and seeing him and still, keeping that union with him in a sweet place. But
so even now your voice is just speaking so much life into my soul. Mm-hmm. I've been at the radio station for 20 years, been on the air for 20 years, and I'm getting my first sabbatical. Wow. This summer. I have 5 weeks off, which in radio, that's a really big deal. And I'm so grateful for it. So grateful for the generosity of the management at the station, who, cause I like literally went to them and said, I think I might be burnt out, but I'm the morning show girl and I'm not allowed to be burnt.
Totally.
I'm not allowed, but I feel it. And Christy, I have had a fear of taking off 5 weeks that I will somehow lose this connection, that this platform will fade. And God has been reminding me over and over, it's not your platform.
Sorry,
and it's your heart that's worth so much more.
Yeah,
so you took 5 years off. That's courageous. Mm-hmm. And it lifts him up as Lord over and over. I think like our Christian life is this continual releasing the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. Thing I thought was mine, again, it's yours, right?
I had this moment with the Lord on the porch about a year ago, and actually, like, I came really close to, before this record was written, I came to a moment of wanting to quit. A lot of that was just, I think, grieving, looking back of where we are as a culture and how that was affecting my children. And then just sometimes feeling like, you know, you have this tiny little megaphone, like you were saying, in order just to get the word out, like, there's this album and we just feel like it's such an encouragement for the church and we just want people to know about it. But you feel like your megaphone's like microscopic and you're like, you know, and the algorithm, and you're up, you know, you're just up against these algorithms of people being able to even hear about what, you know, this beautiful work. And, but anyway, oh my goodness, I just lost my train of thought.
You were on the porch and you were thinking, you were having a moment.
I was like, what was I telling you about?
Quitting.
But yeah, and I remember just literally having, and I had actually been going through a lot of physical ailments, like for a year long, I was having these crazy symptoms. I would have the test done. The doctors would say, we can't find anything wrong. But now I'd have these symptoms that was like, if you have these symptoms, you need to go to the ER at once. And so I went through about a year of that. And, you know, after that long, you know, again, this was the end of 21. It was just a really hard year. And I was on the porch with the Lord, and just one of those moments of just kind of like, okay, like, am I dying? Like, if I am, I'm really glad we're having this talk right now, because I'm going to see you face to face soon. I just need to get some things out. And, but I remember just telling him, you know, I feel like you've called me to these things, and, you've given me these gifts and I want to steward them well. And, you know, but sometimes I feel like there's just such a high cost, or I feel like, you know, there's just sort of this blanket of disability almost, like in that season where it was literally like, I couldn't rise to do the basics someday. And I remember just calling out, being like, what is it? Like, what do you want me to do? Like, what do you want me to do? And I'll never forget, like, before I could even get that phrase out to him, like in my spirit, I heard so clear. He just said this, like, this is what I want you to do right here. Like, just you and me on the porch. Like, this is, it's like all the career and the music and the book and all those things, the podcast, that's all great. But if you're asking what I want from you, he was like, it's this, you know, and it was just the most precious thing. And I pray that even in your sabbatical, you'll experience that, you know, just of that reminder of like, really, it's just, it's your heart that it's our heart he's after. And it's what, that's what he truly wants. And just for me to like the Psalms, I mean, that's what it felt like on the porch. Just, we have that kind of ability to like come before him and just cry out to him like that. Just say like, you know, it's the highs and the lows. It's like bringing all of that to him. He's just like, do this every day. This is what I want. And yeah, just trusting him that, yeah, he will build it. He will sustain it.
We got to get on the porch. I got to get on the porch. That's the new book by Christy Knuckles. I'm just putting it out there. There's so many. I mean, every song on This Is the Hour, every song I love. Valor has become a bit of a theme song for me right now. I'm staring in the face of all that my story holds in its wake, every gain and every loss and pain that feels like an ocean that I still need to cross. My heart is heavy. I'm weary to the bone of the voice of fear that keeps hunting me down just to hold me under. And then that beautiful chorus. Oh, it's me. I'm still here standing in a strength that's not my own. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Thank you for giving us an anthem of courage to know that it's Christ that's holding us up. He's our valor. Can you talk to me a little bit about valor in your own life, Christy? What's the working definition of that? And tell me where that song came from.
Yeah, well, it's sweet. I actually just told you about the porch because the idea for Balor came two nights later from the porch night. And so really it started with a song called Home that's on the album as well. We had traveled to go see family and I was in a hotel. Again, I'd been going through all that physical just trauma and just the ailments. We couldn't figure out what was going on. And I woke up in the middle of the night with the song Home, literally. And I could hear the song. I heard myself singing it. Wow. And I grabbed my phone. And it's the only time that's happened to me in like 25 years of writing that I've almost written out an entire song without a melody in the moment. I could hear the melody of the chorus, but I just started writing it.
Wow.
And then as we
were giving it to you.
Yes, in the middle of the night. And I couldn't have been that coherent because you can hear some like Colossians 3 in it. You can hear some Psalm 139 in it. Like I couldn't have been, I mean, it was just the Lord. I was just writing it down. And then that morning we got up and we went across the street to our favorite coffee shop in that area where our family lives. And we used to live in that area in Georgia. And the coffee shop is called Valor. And I walk in and the Lord just said, there's to be a song called Valor as well. And so that's when he just started speaking to me about that valor comes from that place of coming back to his heart and really standing in that strength that's not our own. I think that I know for me, I just have the tendency to try to keep pulling myself up by my bootstraps and like, you know, from my own strength and my own capacity. And that's where I can really get myself in that place of wanting to quit everything or just going like, I can't do this anymore. And the Lord just, it was just beautiful reminder of what, you know, it looks like to keep coming back home to his heart. And you and I, you know, we can't invite others to come home to the heart of God if we aren't experiencing that ourselves of what that's like. And I remember that week that the those verses for valor began to stir, probably even on the way home from that trip. I probably have it in the notes in my phone. I begin to go, I'm staring in the face of all that my story holds in its wake. And even up to this moment, everything that's happened, you know, up until this moment right now, I'm able to stare into that while also beholding Jesus, and even like beholding our story. And with a lot of us, you know, we have true trauma in our story. It's like, but being able to behold that and also behold Jesus and all of that, and going like, I'm not going to choose to elevate my trauma above Jesus. Like, I'm going to choose to elevate Jesus, and that his finished work on the cross. I even say it in the course, Jesus, your cross, your death, your resurrection, life in me, you will always be my valor. And so what happens when we choose to elevate Jesus is that we find ourselves standing in the strength of Jesus, and that his strength literally becomes our own, and his capacity becomes our own. His efficiency becomes our own, and all of his strength and efficiency and capacity is literally endless. And so beautiful to, in that exchange, right, of us going like, it's not the strength I have a shelf life strength, but Jesus is, his strength is endless. And so it was the beginning of that, of just beginning to trust the Lord. And I remember singing that song, Valor. It's happened on every song, probably on that record and the Lullaby record, but like, Nathan would have to stop recording, because I literally would just double over weeping, because the Lord was giving me just pictures of even women that I know, friends of mine, that have been through actual unimaginable hardship. And the Lord was just showing me just the faces of women of valor. And I didn't know too that Proverbs 31, that it's like an excellent wife who can find that word excellent actually is the word valor. It's kael in Hebrew, and it means valor. And so the Lord's just even been showing me what that truly looks like for us women. And again, it just goes along with that surrender and trust piece, back to that, laying our lives before him, and we gain, in that his strength and his capacity and his, ability, to face whatever it is, like that, some of us, an ocean of pain still, but he's with us.
So beautiful. Elevating. You've just given, even the way that you speak about it paints pictures for us, you know, to willingly elevate Jesus above our trauma. And I know there will be people, precious people listening to this podcast that have a trauma that every day you wake up and you are doing battle and you're tired. And we just pray this conversation refreshes you more than anything, that it would direct you back to God, who's working through all of these offerings to draw you back to his heart. Did it take courage for you to go from being a singer-songwriter to using your voice in these new ways? Because I want people to know about your book and get your book. The Life You Long For, Learning to Live from a Heart of Rest, is Christy's book, and the podcast that you've been doing for like a number of years now. I'm such a fan of yours, and I didn't even realize it. And I just recently discovered it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. It's called The Glorious Mundane.
The Glorious in the Mundane, yeah.
The Glorious in the Mundane. You can tell it's still fresh for me.
Yeah.
But I mean, you are you're pastoring us, Christy. You're pastoring us. Did that take courage for you to trust that God could use your voice in those other ways too?
Absolutely. I'll never forget. In fact, I had breakfast with her this morning, but my friend Lauren, she's actually married to my buddy, Chris Tomlin. And, that was a whole thing, because we knew Chris a lot of his life with him being single.
Right.
And so it was a huge deal when Lauren came along. We were all celebrating in a huge way, not only that he was finally getting married, but that he chose, just an absolutely wonderful woman. And she's actually become one of my dear friends. And I'll never forget the day that she turned around. We were in a car. I think Chris had gotten out to do something, and I was in the back seat. She turns around and she goes, "You know that you have a voice, right?" And I just looked at her, and she said, "And I don't just mean your singing voice." And she just said, "I feel like," and she's just one of those people. She'll call it out when she sees it. And she just said, I believe that God is calling you into a season where he wants you to use your voice beyond just singing and beyond just leading worship. And I believe you're going to do that in a myriad of ways. And I just looked at her like, and I was scared. And I was like, I'm good. I'm going to just like, you know, just being behind the mic and singing. And but it was so true. Oh my goodness. And I did really, but it's sweet, you know, how the Lord, even how the podcast started. When I started my podcast, there really weren't a lot of women doing podcasts, but even only 6 years ago. Wow. I think it was like just very few on the map. And I just kind of got into that because I was like, you know, I have a lot of platform friends, meaning like, you know, we get to like share the platform together. Like I'm leading worship and my friend might be an author or she's speaking.
Right.
And there's just relationships. And I think often people can kind of look at it and go like, oh, well, those are just platform people. Those are people that they must have it all figured out, or I don't know how they're all friends. But what's so sweet is I've had so many friendships with people like that, that the Lord started those years ago and very organically. Like Beth Moore was a Sunday school teacher in our church in Houston before she ever released a Bible study.
Is that right?
And yeah, so it's just like I was like, oh yeah, she teaches Sunday school at my church. It wasn't like I knew her as someone famous. And so it was just, so the conversations I was having in the early years of the podcast was just, it was truly like being able to show people that like God had just organically brought our worlds together, and that even the kind of the platform thing had even happened organically. It wasn't something of like, you know, had to be in the right place at the right time and know all the right people. Right. It's just like, gosh, Lord's weaving our stories and how beautiful. And so it started out like that. And then my husband actually knows how to just upload things and record things because he's a producer. And so he's like, I love podcasts. You should like do this. And so it started out so very innocently, you know, and it started out in a way where I wasn't really listening to other podcasts. And so I just was being me on the mic, I guess. And then here I still am, like just being me. And I think I script my podcasts actually. And so, it's almost like writing a chapter of a book. It's about 5,000 words an episode. And, but I just love doing it that way because I feel like I can really study, I can make sure that what I'm saying is truthful. I'm not just shooting the breeze with people. Right. And I am coming from it from an angle of like, Lord, use me to help lead women and pastor, like you said. And, I didn't start out to do that, but at all, but he's done that through, I think just my willingness to just like, yeah, like be myself on my podcast and just let him use my voice in that way. And yes, it was very scary, but he let that play out in a way that was really organic. So
authentic, organic. I love that. It just bubbled up out of you authentically living your life for him.
Yes.
I just want to recommend people check out your podcast. It's I'm just digging in. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's over 100 episodes.
Yeah.
And it's Christy sharing slices of life and scripture and stories and truths about our Jesus that will just help you grow on your journey. I'm so grateful that you're doing it, that you're taking the time to do it, and that you're letting God use that voice however he wants. So you have the podcast, you have the book, of course you have your beautiful music and your latest, honestly, I know I keep saying this, I'm gushing, I don't care. It is like the most stunning thing I've heard in a very long time. It is gorgeous. The first time I heard it all the way through, I immediately went, like, texted all my girlfriends. I'm like, oh my gosh, you got to hear this right now. Oh. Right now. You got to stop what you're doing and listen.
Thank you so much. That actually is so encouraging to me this week. You know, it's just sweet to thank you for telling me that. Cause you're just, sometimes you're just like, is it resonating? Like, is anyone listening?
It's cutting through the clutter.
Oh, thank you so much.
I know it's cutting through the clutter of my life. It is astonishingly beautiful.
Thank you.
We have a group that meets in our home on Monday evenings, and it's multi-generational, just group of friends. And my husband's a pastor. And so we cook. I love to cook. I want to feed my friends. We sit around in a circle and we'll put on some music, we'll share some scripture and just have some time together. And it's always your CD. It's always amazing. This is the hour. It always is.
Thank you. I love it.
The Peter Gabriel song that you chose is one of my all-time favorites from like the late 80s. And I'm like, when I saw it on the track listing, I'm like, I wonder if that's the Peter. And then it starts and I'm like, oh, it is. Tell me what made you want to cover that beautiful song.
Yes. Well, I don't know about you, but that song has always connected me to the Lord since I was 12 years old when it came out. In high school and college, it was my favorite song. And I would always go back to that. My husband, actually, when Starbucks first came around, they were selling this mug where it was like almost like it's like a chalkboard mug and you could like write on it. And he yes. wrote some of the lyrics. He wrote like, in your eyes, I see the doorway of 1,000 churches. Like he wrote that lyric on there. And so it's always just been special to us. And then when I heard Peter Gabriel's live version of that, for some reason, when I heard his live version, it would take me to, I know this is going to sound so strange, but it would take me to like the, this sounds so just like,
no, it doesn't. I feel the same way about the song. Tell me.
Well, it would remind me of like the marriage supper of the Lamb, like what the worship would be like when we're celebrating, like when we're actually home. And so it was like this sort of like second coming thing of like, and especially during the pandemic, when we were all on lockdown and, you know, I was making my brave trip to the store, the grocery store, we're all just going, what is happening?
And that was 100 years ago, wasn't it?
Totally. And, you know, I would put that song on and I would just blast it as loud as I could. And just the words, when it was like, you know, the whole part where he talks about like, I drive off in my car, you know, and then it goes, but when I basically come back to where you are, Jesus, like all my instincts, they return. And it's like in the grand facade of this whole thing, this whole, like, it's gonna go away.
It's gonna burn.
So soon we'll burn. But, you know, even just in Revelation, when it talks about Jesus and like the fire in his eyes and like, it all would like remind me of like, Jesus, you're coming back. Like it was definitely like this, like spiritual experience for me. And when the record came around, it was time to record. It was like, Nathan, I feel like I want to record this song. And I think too, it's just sort of that declaration of like, Jesus, it's like your eyes on me and what I'm doing, whatever I'm about, like that's what matters. And so it's just sort of like being able to like lock into, you know, the New Testament talks so much about, the gaze of Jesus, like when he would look, it like he looked into my soul, like when he looked at Peter across the courtyard, you know, it's like, yes. It talks about literally in the original language, what that, like his eyes meeting Peter's eyes and what that was. It's like, he like saw into my soul. And it's like, sort of just that, like, I want to be clean and right before you, Jesus. And so like, what does it look like to be able to be that in the here and now? And that like just being able to lock eyes with him and be at peace. And so that's where it came from. And it's just, you should have seen me. I kind of wish I would have had a camera when I was recording that vocal. It was one I didn't cry through. I danced like, I was like, Nathan, we should have had a hidden camera. Like I was jumping up and down and dancing. It was just very celebratory.
Oh, I love
just
that.
So
I want to fly on the wall, you know, fly on the wall when Christy's recording her music, because you embody it. It's connected. Your soul, your voice, it's connected. And that's why it hits so authentically. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, oh gosh, it's beautiful. I'm so glad that you made that choice to include that on the record. It was such a nod for some of us older, you know. It's like, and I'm trying to explain to my young friends, you don't understand how awesome this song is. Okay. Listen to this song.
I know. I had so many friends text me and they thought I wrote it. And I'm like, you know what? I said, it means a lot. And it says a lot about you that you could, you know, you could find brilliance, because I was like, that wasn't actually me.
Well, the brilliant is not a hard thing to believe at all that it would come from you. What I love is it's a sure sign that you have younger friends.
Yeah, totally. Right? Absolutely. They were like, who's Peter Gabriel? I literally had to show them.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
So fun.
So, Christy, I know I'm going to let you go. I have just two more questions for you. Could you complete this sentence? I feel like I'm the best version of myself when I'm
at home with my husband and my children, definitely around the table. And we try to do that really often, but just home. Yeah. There's something so sweet. And our kids are almost 23, 20, and 15. And they're just our favorite people on the planet. And I've actually loved the teenage years and the young adult years. I've wanted to freeze my kids in every phase. I think, but it's just, and I hope that encourages anyone
who's
listening
that
has littles, but like, I feel like I'm the best version of myself when I'm just with them and we're around the table. And I just love that. Our oldest lives in Nashville still. He's on tour right now. He's a musician. And our youngest, she sang on the album. She's singing a couple different times. She's singing on Where Would I Be? So you've heard her voice.
Wow.
And then our middle is this painter, this beautiful artist. But I just love that. I was just telling my friend Megan about it, just that home continues to be a place where they are coming back to and in this season. And it just feels so sacred. And I love being a mom. And for some reason, just this phase of like having young adult kids is just like really beautiful. So I love it.
That is amazing. 28 years of marriage to Nathan, right?
Yeah.
What's your favorite date night with somebody that you've grown up with, that you've known for so long? What's your favorite date night?
Yeah, well, we are definitely like cinema people and we love movies and we love to analyze it and talk about it. And so definitely like movie night, but a lot of times, honestly, the kids even know, like when they were growing up, there were a lot of times it was just like, okay, mom and dad, we're going to do date night in our room. And we would like make a special dinner and just go sit. We have always had a couch. We've always had like a couch and a little ottoman thing where you can put food. We just love watching movies together. And then we talk about it after and kind of, and usually there's tears. My husband will cry at, but he's fun in that he will watch anything from like a Hallmark movie to like, you know, a World War II movie with me. And, and sometimes there's tears in all of it, but, we enjoy that. That's like a fun date night for us. Or we go, sometimes they'll go antiquing with me, but that's definitely him just loving on me, having to go to the antique shop.
Crying for another reason.
Totally.
That's beautiful. All right. And here's my last question for you. You could take one chapter in all of the Bible with you. You can't have the rest of it. You can only have one chapter. What chapter are you going to take with you to that deserted island?
Oh, man, that's really hard. Probably John 15, abiding. I think that's probably what I would take. Mm. Yeah. Beautiful. There's been a lot of just learning to abide and almost like any season I can look back on, it's been that lesson. I'll never forget buying our house or looking for our house in Georgia. We moved there to help plant a church and it would be that next 7 years, one of the busiest seasons of our lives. We did a world tour with Passion Conferences during that time and had no idea what I was entering into. And the Lord brought us to this house and I was with the realtor and there was a scripture, it wasn't John 15, but it was in the, literally the rock of the house. It had this, Wow. And it was etched in this rock. And it was Jesus's word, like, come to me all who are weary and I will give you rest. Like, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And and so it's just it's like he's had to literally put it in the doorpost of my house in every season of life, of like that abiding in that rest. And so
abiding.
That's been the theme, I think, and that would be the thing I would maybe want to hold to.
Anything we can pray for you for, because you shared about some health stuff that you've been through and your mom's health journey. Is there anything that we can just trust our listeners to be lifting up for you?
Yeah, definitely my mom. Her name is Susan, and she's doing great right now. She actually had just now had to get back on chemo, but that does seem to be working, and we're just so happy, and she's not having very many side effects. And but also just this summer, we hope to start actually songwriting again. And so it's very sacred for me to even say that out loud. And it feels a little bit scary, you know. we have a couple of things that are stirring, and just praying that the Lord will truly, like, that we'll be in that place of hearing, because we always just want to know that we're really doing what he says. And the last two albums have been just that, and I felt like we heard him so clear. It doesn't mean it was easy, it was very hard, but just praying that we'll hear him clearly on what's next. But we really do feel like we're not gonna wait as long as we did this last time to have more music. So we're just praying that that will be so clear what we're supposed to walk in, and what's stirring will become clear.
Ears to hear. Thank you for sharing that. Yes. And I will be praying for you. I'm so grateful for your beautiful life and soul, and how you so generously offer it up in worship, and just help us to find words and melody. You paint pictures with your music. You're such a gift, Christy Knuckles. Thank you for your time. I'm so happy we got to meet.
Oh my goodness. This was a gift. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Can I do like the cheesiest thing in the world and take a picture of us on my computer? Yes. See, I always do this wrong. Like I do it. I do it using my cell phone. I know there's better ways of doing it, but I do it this way.
I wouldn't even know either. So.
And I'm like, okay, now where do I look? Do I look now? So I'm going to look at the little green dot up there, and I'm just going to do a big cheesy smile. Okay, here we go. There we go.
Awesome.
Thank you. God bless
you.
Thank
you. You are such an encouragement to me. Thank you.
Oh gosh, thank you. I will send the podcast when it goes live to your wonderful folks. I'm trying to remember the name of the
Caitlin, maybe, or
that's what it was. Yeah. Yes. Okay, everybody was so kind. I'll send it to her so that you have the link when it goes live.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you.
You too.
I am undone. I hope you drank deeply from that rich conversation with the lovely Christy Knuckles. I'm so grateful to God for her. And you got to check. I know I've said this probably 10 times during this conversation, but you have to listen to her latest release, This Is the Hour, the whole thing. You got to hear it. You got to hear it. Your Day Brighter, the podcast, is produced by me, Tracy Tiernan, for Brighter Media Group. Our executive producer is John Lawhon. Special thanks to our team, Todd Gaddy, Caroline Burke, Aaron Branham, and Jared Akerst. You guys are the best. Thank you so much for being a part of our listening community. I'm so grateful that you're here. And if you love it, if you're being encouraged by it, share it, pass it around. If you're able, leave a review, because that helps other people to find it. You know what we'd like to say around here? Tell somebody your story today, or better yet, ask to hear theirs. Thanks so much for listening.